a glut of catastrophic news reports show fiery objects falling from the sky.
I'm not sure if we're even on the air. This is a series of explosions.
Being told, this is a major incident. The emergency is a major incident. Reported
bright lights and an orange glow.
That's so much the meteor hit.
It does now appear to be a major attack.
Since they landed outside Hamburg 5 years ago, they have steadily advanced across Europe. We've suffered millions of casualties, and yet
the evacuation of key government officials continuing.
Nothing we have done has been able to stop their advance.
Human costs. The Europeans have paid the highest
price. And even anticipate our actions.
We do not defeat them in France. We'll be fighting them in the streets of London, then New York, then Tokyo.
General Brigham.
All of humanity is at stake.
After 5 years, we finally have a victory.
These pictures are just in from Verdun.
The quick coalition victory was how low casualties were.
We have seen a stunning victory here today. The United Defense Force.
How do you convince people that this is a fight that can be won?
This is an alien invasion in a global war. With a new jacket technology and limited amount of training, we've been able to create super soldiers. Look at Reed Vertasky, the Angel of Verdun.
They're calling her the Angel of Verdun.
She's pretty and blonde.
She's seen as the new hope for this war.
It's extraordinary.
With the new jacket technology and limited training, Reed Vertasky was able to kill hundreds of mimics on only her 30
days. The tide of this war changed.
This successful, revolutionary new technology.
He's now here. The only thing missing.
An image of Rita in the robotic bodysuit.
He was able to kill hundreds of mimics on only your first day in combat. Imagine an army of Reed Vertasky's.
We're managing to hold them back at the English Channel, but
well,
for how long?
It's dangerous talk, and it's easy to understand why people are suspicious about this.
Smoke funnels from an ash-laden impact site.
To push them back once
we've got them contained. And with this new technology, we're going to defeat them.
Operation Downfall is going to be the largest mechanized invasion in the history of mankind. We will be victorious. We fight. That's what we do.
The man proselytizing is ruggedly handsome Major William Cage. London. A military helicopter flies over the Thames towards Whitehall. Cage is asleep in the back with his uniform cap over his eyes. Sunlight flares in through a window. A soldier slides open the side door. Cage's eyes blink open and removing the cap, he sits upright. The helicopter turns left past Big Ben and continues towards Trafalgar Square. A Royal Marine looks out from the steps of the stately National Gallery. Steering between Nelson's Column and nearby buildings, the helicopter comes in to land. It touches down near a fountain, with the broad colonnaded entrance of the National Gallery in the background. Cage steps down onto the square, where he's greeted by Corporal Montgomery, a slim, attractive woman in military uniform.
This is William Cage, United States military, Major.
At the United Defense Force headquarters, Cage sits in a lobby by a statue of a lion. A friendly-faced secretary approaches.
The General will see you now.
He rises.
Thank you.
General Brigham.
Operation Downfall. The entire might of the UDF, invading from France, the Mediterranean, Scandinavia, relieving pressure on the Eastern Front, allowing the Russians and Chinese to push the enemy back. We all meet in the middle, exterminating this mimic scourge along the way. A lot of good soldiers are going to die tomorrow, Major. You know, when the smoke clears and the body bags start coming home, people tend to look for someone to blame, someone like me. Ideally, I'd prefer a different scenario. Please.
A best-selling memoir, perhaps.
They sit.
Maybe a career in politics? Off the top of my head, I would go with the sense of manifest destiny. Rags to riches, rapid rise through the ranks, born to deliver us, and the people. Well, they love that sort of thing.
You misunderstand, Major. I didn't ask you here to sell me. I want you to sell the invasion.
Okay.
You ship out to the coast in 1 hour. Your camera crew is standing by. You'll be on the beach with the first wave.
Cage's smile fades.
I'm sorry, the first wave, the beach, you mean the front?
France! Satellites show minimal enemy movement on the coast. Little resistance. Little exciting, something to tell your grandchildren.
Well, I appreciate the confidence, General. Yes. I do this to avoid doing that. I was in ROTC in college. The war broke out. I lost my advertising firm, and here I am. You know, I do what I do, and you do what you do. But I'm not a soldier, really.
Brigham sneers.
No, of course you're not. That's why I'm embedding you with several hundred thousand men and women who are.
While it is an honor, General, I'm afraid I'm going to have to decline. Can't stand the sight of blood. Not so much as a paper cut. sitting here thinking about this, a couple of names come to mind that I feel I could recommend to you.
It's not an offer, Major. It's an order.
Cage smirks and cocks an eyebrow.
General, I am an officer in the United States military. You don't even have the authority.
I have spoken to your CO. You are now under my command. You will retain your present rank, of course. My secretary has all the details.
Cage is slack-jawed.
Do a good job, Major. Good luck. You are dismissed.
Brow furrowed, Cage cocks his head and his eyes rove uncertainly as he rises from his seat. Cap in hand, he starts towards the door. Stopping halfway, he flexes his jaw and turns to face Brigham, who looks up from some paperwork.
General? I just inspired millions of people to join your army.
Cage raises his eyebrows.
And when the body bags come home, and they're looking for someone to blame, how hard do you think it would be for me to convince people to blame you? I'd imagine the general would prefer to avoid that.
Brigham puts down his pen.
Are you blackmailing me, Major?
I would prefer not to be filming acts of heroism and valor on that beach tomorrow.
Grimacing, General Brigham gets up from his seat and casually rounds his desk towards a nervous-looking Cage. Stocky, broad-shouldered Brigham stands with his hands behind his back and smiles faintly.
You won't be.
Cage nods.
I'm glad we could work this out. If you'll excuse me, General, I...
Cage bangs his knee on a chair as he starts anxiously towards the door.
Thank you.
He steps out.
Arrest this man.
What?
Cage bolts. He's chased by a soldier. As he flees along a corridor, a soldier leaps out into his path and tasers him. Cage comes to on a heap of army rucksacks. His eyes blink open, and he finds he's wearing handcuffs. He sits up and looks around, bleary-eyed. Soldiers troop past in heavy army boots. A sign on a nearby building reads, Heathrow. A UDF recruitment advert on a passing red double-decker bus bears the image of Rita Vrataski graffitied with Full Metal Bitch.
On your feet, maggot!
A sergeant kicks Cage.
There's no way to address an officer, sergeant.
That's how I address a slack-jawed recruit right before I bust his hole with my boot heel, maggot!
Hold up there, son.
Another sergeant, Farrell.
Can I help you, sir?
Cage looks around.
Where the hell am I, Sergeant?
Forward Operating Base Heathrow. You just came in with the fresh recruits.
Do I strike you as a fresh recruit?
No, sir, you do not.
My name is Major William Cage. I'm an American officer.
Officer? This is processing. There's no officers down here. I got this, Sergeant. How the hell did you end up in processing?
What was it? Poker night? Bachelor party?
It's all the same to you, Sergeant. I'd like to explain that to my commanding officer in Washington, so if you just take me to a phone.
Haven't you heard? We're T-minus all last H-hour. We're fixing to invade France. This whole FOB's on lockdown. No calls. In or out.
Cage glances at Farrell's name tag.
Name's Farrell.
That's right. Master Sergeant Farrell.
Master Sergeant Farrell, you're an American.
No, sir. I'm from Kentucky.
Okay. Well, look at me. Look at where I am. I've been railroaded. It's obvious I don't belong here. So please, Sergeant, there has to be a way I can make a phone call.
Mustachioed Farrell purses his lips thoughtfully, then looks Cage in the eye.
I'll get you sorted out, sir.
Thank you.
Right this way.
Positioned along a runway are a number of helicopters, each with four sets of rotors. One takes off.
Where are you from in Kentucky, Sergeant?
Little town called Science Hill. Heard of it?
I have now.
How about you? Where are you from?
Cranberry, New Jersey.
They grow a lot of cranberries there, do they?
Tomatoes. Best you ever had.
Why they call it cranberry, then?
Why they call it Science Hill?
Never ask. Don't care.
Flanked by two military police, they come to a large tent.
After you.
Farrell gestures at an entrance, and Cage glances at the two UDF commandos.
You're not taking me to the phone, are you, Sergeant?
No, I'm not. Seems about the only honest thing you said to me so far is your name.
Farrell produces a document.
Says here you're a deserter. Says here you were caught impersonating an officer. It says here you'd likely try to make an outside call, even compromise security of this operation. Anything to get out of combat duty tomorrow. But that's not gonna happen. Ever. Private Cage.
They enter the huge tent, which serves as barracks for a great number of soldiers, both male and female. A bare-chested guy lifts a barbell. Farrell leads Cage through the dark interior.
Rumor is a terrible thing. Now, not for all these men will all reach the same conclusion, that you're a coward and a liar, putting your life above theirs. The good news is there's hope for you, Private. Hope in the form of glorious combat.